This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
My name is Juliana Cabreja, and I'm interviewing Javier Clemente in the Bronx on April 14th. Do you give me permission to record and distribute this oral history?
Yes.
And I want to remind you that you are not obligated to answer any of these questions. If there is a question that makes you in any way uncomfortable, you can refrain from answering. Do you understand?
I understand.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 24.
What is your occupation?
I am a maintenance / construction worker in a woman's shelter.
Where is your neighborhood?
Bronx, New York.
What is your place of origin?
My mother is from Puerto Rico and my father is African American.
What is your first language?
English.
Your racial identity?
African American.
Your gender identity?
Male.
And your sexual orientation?
Straight.
Tell me how your, just briefly, how did your family end up in New York City?
My grandmother moved here and brought my mom with her. And also they came for a better life.
Now I'm going to ask you questions about the pandemic.
Let's go.
How are you coping with the pandemic? Like, do you have a self-care routine? Like, how are you coping?
The way I cope is from working out.
You was working out?
Working out every day and keeping myself busy.
What was your initial response to COVID, and has it changed over time at all?
Well, my first thought of COVID was that it was just another disease that will blow over, but then I realized that it was serious and I took it way more serious.
How has the coronavirus changed your life?
It made me appreciate being outside and living a normal life way more.
Has you or anyone close to you gotten the coronavirus? And if they did, how was it? How did that affect you?
Yes, my mother actually got the coronavirus very late. And it affected my family pretty bad. We are very scared. And, you know, thank God she was okay.
Did you lose anyone close to you?
No, I didn't lose immediate family, but I did lose coworkers.
Could you tell me a little bit about them? Did you know them personally, or was it just like an acquaintance thing?
Well, I didn't know them too well, but I knew them as acquaintances. I saw them every day at work, and yes, it hit me a certain type of way.
How are you coping financially?
Well, the pandemic never really affected me because I'm an essential worker, so I never stopped working.
What was it like to be home so often?
It was very boring and depressing.
Did this impact you socially, mentally, and emotionally? If so, how did it?
Only mentally, it made me appreciate things more. Socially, I haven't spoken to certain people that I usually would speak to.
How did it impact your family?
It made my family very paranoid and very anxious.
Are there people in your household that are working?
My mom's retired. I'm the only one working.
What have you learned about yourself and your family since the beginning of this crisis?
I learned for myself that I'm stronger than I thought I was. And what I've learned from my family is that they can go, they can leave this earth in the quick of a second.
What has been the hardest part of this pandemic for you?
Staying home.
Has there been anything positive to come out of the pandemic for you?
Yes. What was positive is that I started working out and I gained a couple pounds. I gained a whole lot of pounds that I was always trying to gain by staying home. I ate more and I realized that, you know, I appreciate everything around me more. I appreciate being outside. I appreciate doing the little things that life was normally like.
So it's safe to say that your favorite thing to do during the lockdown was working out, right?
My favorite thing was working out and watching videos on my phone and focusing on my family and really, you know, being focused on myself for the first time in my life.
How has COVID-19 changed how you think about the relationship between our health as individuals and our health as a society?
It made me realize that my health is very important and that there's always something that can come out of the blue that can kill us. And it was proven, and it made me really realize that I have to actually consider my health as a young 24-year-old man and consider my family for the first time in my life.
How do you think the government handled the COVID crisis?
I think they handled it all right. I think they could have did a little better. I think that they could have came up with a cure and gave it to everybody. I think that it's a conspiracy in a certain type of way for me.
So how would you grade the job, like on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being horrible, 10 being really bad, how would you grade the job the government did rolling out the vaccine?
I would say a 4%.
Will you be getting the vaccine?
Only if my job requires it.
So why wouldn't you do it just free will?
I wouldn't do it. I have no problem with getting the vaccine. I don't think the vaccine is making us more sick, but the only way I'm going to get it is if my job requires it. If my job doesn't require it, then I'm not going to get it willingly.
How are you feeling about the world reopening again?
I am completely excited because I've been in quarantine by myself in my room for the past 3 months, and I am so excited for the world reopening again, and I appreciate it way more.
So what's the first thing you're going to do when you have your freedom from this pandemic?
I'm going to go have a great time with my friends like I normally would have had before the pandemic.
So how do you think the world will be changed when we come out of this pandemic and everything's cleared up? You think it will change at all?
Honestly, I don't think the world will be changed at all. I think everyone in the world is going to finally be like, we got over this. Yes, we passed it. And they're going to go right back to normal. I don't think it's going to change at all.
Okay, well, since you were an essential worker, I want to thank you for your services during bad time.
You're welcome.
And now I will be asking you questions about the Black Lives Matter protests. Again, I want to remind you that you are not obligated to answer any questions you're not comfortable answering.
I understand.
Okay. So, do you remember where you were and what your first thought was when you saw or heard about, you know, George Floyd and the Trayvon Martin stuff?
I was exactly where I've always been, where I grew up. At my house during the pandemic, and nothing new. Finally, people are making a change.
Explain to me why you think these anti-racist protests erupted.
I think we erupted because we always had enough, but it kept happening constantly and constantly, and we saw it on video. So, you know, finally we're trying to force people to understand.
So what are some of the reasons that you think protesting Black Americans and their non-Black allies are angry about these conditions in the United States? Like, why do you think we're so angry? Yes.
We're angry because it takes the millionth and tenth Black man to get killed for you guys to really understand, and you guys wouldn't understand if we didn't force you guys to understand.
Do you believe that there are issues with the criminal justice system in the United States that help flame these protests?
Not only do I believe, I know that there are so many issues with the criminal justice, with the police, with the court systems. This is nothing new. It's always been like this.
So what do you think are some of those issues?
The issues is that we are looked upon from the authorities as a threat and as a certain type of person. They categorize us as this horrible person, and they don't allow their minds to think that there are actually good Black people.
So when did you become aware of these issues? Like, when did you know that there was an issue with the criminal justice system?
I knew from the first time I got stopped in CERT when I was 12 years old, standing on the street waiting for my brother.
Do you think that the history of race and racism in the United States impact the Black Lives Matter movement?
It didn't impact the Black Lives Matter movement. It made the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm. So, like, in what ways? So you think that because of the history, this is why we have such a problem?
Because of the history, this is why we're like how we are right now.
How do you explain the persistence of racism in the United States generally and New York City specifically?
I can never explain that question. That is a question for the opposite race.
Why do you think New York City became an epicenter of all these protests?
I don't think that it became an epicenter. I think that New York City has always been the spot of racism, especially because NYPD policemen target, you know, Black men in, you know, lower income places. So, you know.
How have the uprisings across the country shifted how you think about your ethnic identity and your place in U.S. society?
This had nothing to do with how I think. I've always thought like this, and I'm going to keep thinking like this. But I think now that finally I had to take this much, now us as a people, Black people, are coming together. That's all I think.
Do you have any stories you are willing to share about encounters you have had with racism or the police?
I will be glad. First off, one story. I got out of work. My boss and my supervisor's right outside. I'm walking across the street. The detective police undercover stopped me. They used their car to stop me, close to hitting me. I have my book bag on. I'm a 13-year-old kid, and they're asking me what's in my bag, and I'm just trying to go home. I just got off of work. They asked me what's in my bag, pressuring me to show them my bag. Luckily, my boss, which is my brother, and the rest of the workers were outside, and they helped me to my defense in that problem. And that's just one of many of the encounters.
Have you learned about an experience of anybody close to you that you're willing to share? That you can remember?
I can't say that I've learned from experience of anybody close to me. I've learned from experience of what I've experienced. I've experienced it all. I'm a black man in the Bronx. I grew up here trying to make a better life. And, you know, police expect you to be that normal dude that they expect. So I've experienced it a whole bunch of times.
Were you active in the protests at all in a digital or in-person way over the last 6 months? If so, how? Why did you decide to get involved?
I was never involved physically. I would never go to the protests. I would never buy the shirts. I would never be physically there. The only thing that I've posted was the Blackout Tuesday. And I honestly don't feel like I need to be just another protester just to add on to the crowd for nothing to change.
So you decide not to get involved because you feel like it's not, you know, it's not going to do anything?
Yes. I feel like I wasn't going to be another man over there physically getting involved in the protest, because I've dealt with these things already. Black Lives Matter is new to everyone else. This has always been a thing my whole life. I don't have to be involved in that. I just have to make a change in myself. And that's what's going to make a new life for everyone.
How has Black Lives Matter shifted the culture?
Honestly, I feel like it didn't. It definitely made a real impact on our culture. It made us come a little bit more together. A little bit more together. I can't say a big change has happened. But we've definitely are finally all agreeing and moving as one on this one thing.
So how have the past few months changed how you think about police and racism in the United States?
The past few months just gave me recognition. It gave me the reassurance that, you know, this is like this, and finally people are understanding. But it didn't change anything of how I thought. This is always how my mindset was. This is how I lived my life as a black man.
So, did you learn any more about the history of racism in this country since the protests have started?
I really don't think I've learned any more. I really don't think it's about learning any more. I didn't learn any more. Like, I knew all this. And it's really not about learning anymore.
So what have you seen your peers doing that inspires you?
Well, when it comes to when you ask my peers, I say, I don't say as my friends or my coworkers. I say if my peers, you're asking what inspires me, I look at my family. I look at my brothers. I look at my mother. I look at how they dealt with this, their whole life as Black Latins in this world, but them being Black, they still had to deal with it back in the day, so it was way harder for them, and it just makes me stronger and makes me want to fight even more.
So why do you think there's so much backlash to the Black Lives Matter movement?
I think there's so much backlash for the Black Lives Matter movement because of white people that, I'm not going to say from a white person saying all lives matter, that's not every white person that's just trying to be racist. Some just don't understand. They're just saying like, oh, wait, all lives matter. But I feel like it reacts with them because, you know, they can never see us as equals.
So how do you explain the looting and the destruction of property that took place during the protests?
It is a great question. I explain the looting as something that we're not proud of doing. You know, there's always bad apples in every race and every ethnicity and every human being in this world. But the looting was something in the rioting. The looting and the rioting had to be a thing to force you guys to understand.
How do you explain people who respond to Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter?
I respond to them as, you know, just very ignorant, and usually who say All Lives Matter are white people. I feel like, you know, they think of us as like we don't already know All Lives Matter. Obviously, every life matters. Doesn't matter what color. But they are feeling left out, and they're not understanding where we're coming from with the Black Lives Matter, because white people don't go through that and they will never understand. So I'm not even surprised from that rebuttal from them.
How would you like to see this movement resolved?
Being a black man from the Bronx my whole life, you know, I already know that this will never be fully resolved ever in eternity.
How would you like to see?
Yeah, I'll get into that. But I would like just for us blacks to be equal to everyone else in this world. That's what the solution I want. Equality.
So, do you believe that we're any closer to what you, like, you know, we're any closer to equality than we were when George Floyd was murdered, before George Floyd was murdered?
I don't feel like we're closer to equality. I feel like we are, you know, we're getting given certain things that we wanted, like commercials with more black people, you know, just being spoken about black people, Black Lives Matter, but, you know, I don't think stuff is going to change.
Is there anything else about the anti-racist uprisings that you would like to share?
I feel that, you know, man, like, I feel like we just need to, you know, we need to try to understand other people. I feel like we need to try to, you know, realize that, you know, everyone's trying to make a better life for each other, for themselves. Realize that, you know, it is harder for Black people in the Black communities because we don't have the schools that are provided. We don't have, even where it comes to, you know, getting certain foods, we don't have the salad bar that we could just go to if we want to eat healthy that day. We don't have, you know, a lot of things that, you know, white people do have. And I just, you know, I'll never stop fighting. And you guys need to understand that we will never stop. We'll never be quiet. And if it takes the looting and the rioting for you guys to understand until you change it and fix it, then that's what it's going to take.
Now I'm going to ask you a couple questions about the U.S. Capitol being invaded by the Trump supporters in this year.
Yes.
So what was going through your mind when you first heard about the U.S. Capitol being invaded?
Well, if you want me to be honest, what was going through my mind was that since it was full-on Trump supporters, for me to be fully honest, what was going through my mind was nothing, because I didn't care. It had nothing to do with Black.
What are your reactions? What do you think led these people to attempt to violently overthrow the government?
I think what led them was Trump having that speech that day saying, we're going to march over. I want everyone to come over here to the Capitol, and we're going to force our way because it's unequal. And I feel like they knew they were losing, and they finally got a taste of the old times of how, you know, racism really was. They got a taste, and they didn't want it to just leave that fast.
Were you surprised of how they were treated by the police?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. They glorified that one white woman that got shot, and they worship her and like say, oh, RIP to her. And you know, I'm not a horrible person. Yes, may her rest in peace. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel bad.
So, you know, there were reports that members of the Trump supporters that were invading the U.S. Capitol were elected officials and police officers and U.S. military.
That were in the crowd?
Yes. So what should we do as a society with that information? That's that, like, what do you think we should do about that? What do you think the U.S. law enforcement should do about that? Do you agree with the police officers overthrowing U.S. democracy?
Well, first off, it's not about what we should do. It's about what we can do as a Black people. And, literally, I don't think that when it comes to the Capitol being, ambushed like that, I don't feel like you know, that's a question for us Black people, because, you know, they chose to do that. It was Trump supporters that swore they were the right ones that did that to y'all capital, to our capital. We never went that far. We were the ones being tear gassed and killed. One person got killed.
What do you think about Trump's reaction to the invasion?
I wasn't shocked by it. Because, you know, if you listen to what he said before, you know, that was the plan all along. And, you know, like, I wasn't shocked at all. Like, Trump is focused on winning. And, you know, like, he's going to make himself heard.
What do you think about the impeachment trial of our former U.S. President Trump?
Well, there was two impeachment trials on President Trump. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I understand the impeachment trial and all that crap, but, you know, I honestly feel like as much as you guys were trying to get him out of the office, you could have put all that energy into actually making things better for Black people.
So, if Trump was a woman or a non-white, how do you think the impeachment trial would have been? Would it have been the same, or would it have been different?
Well, if Trump was, for instance, if Trump was a white woman, I think the impeachment trial, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it would be the same if Trump was a white woman, but maybe they would be a little more harsh on her. But it never compares to if I think it's a Black man or a Black woman, because I think they would just kill him. They would kill that Black man or woman.
Many say that silence is violence. Do you agree with this statement? Why or why not?
I definitely don't. I agree with the statement to the max. I think silence is violence. The more you just try to ignore it, it's never going to change anything. But it's kind of a double whammy for me, because certain things, situations are, you know, better off if you just don't say anything.
So, I remember earlier in this interview, you said that you didn't participate and you didn't, contribute to the Black Lives Matter movement because you felt as if it wouldn't do anything. So, do you think you're harming this movement in any way by not contributing?
Just because what everyone's definition of contributing to the movement is by walking outside holding a Black Lives Matter sign on up. That's I'm an actual Black man from born and raised in the Bronx, 24, I've been going through all this. It's not about protesting and holding up a sign for me.
Do you believe that the Black Lives Matter movement is one step closer to ending racism in this country?
I feel like it's definitely a big step. It's definitely a big step. I don't feel like it's one step closer from ending racism, but I feel like it's a big step for at least getting, you know, white people to understand where we're coming from.
So, about the COVID pandemic, Has it affected your income in any way?
No. Like I said before earlier in this interview, I'm an essential worker, and I've been working the whole time. So thank God I've got blessed that I didn't have to experience losing a job like everyone else.
So I know you feel as if, you know, racism's never going to end and this isn't going to solve anything. You think we're going to hit harder, or you think things are just going to be like this?
Well, I think we're hitting harder than we ever have. And I feel like we're going to hit harder and harder until they understand.
If you plan on having children, how would you explain, you know, this thing that's happened as, you know, as a 24-year-old? Like, how would you explain the Black Lives Matter movement to them that you personally went through?
I wouldn't explain it to them, because I want my child to have as much innocence as they can until, you know, they get older and they go through it. That's when I'll explain that, you know, it doesn't matter what people say. Realize that you're beautiful. Your skin is beautiful. And you can't focus on that stuff.
I would like to greatly thank you for answering these questions for me. I know some of them were touchy subjects, and I can tell you were passionate about it. So I am very grateful that you came and had this conversation with me and this interview with me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm grateful for you guys to inform everyone that doesn't understand.
We're done.